Oh, Allahu Akbar. I like to begin my Sufi classes with the phrase Allahu Akbar, which means Allah is greater than. Kind of like in math, the great little greater than sign. Allah is greater than. And on my first phone Sufi class, I should say a little bit about what I mean when I say the word Allah. Because I know that for me, the first time I heard people using the word Allah in the Sufi context, I couldn't really shake images of a bunch of Arabs hell-bent on sending my Jewish relatives into the ocean and turning the ocean bloody. I couldn't help thinking about terrorists. I couldn't help thinking of all kinds of horrible things. Fundamentalists and then behind that, images of an angry man up in the sky. And it took a while before I could detach my associations with the word Allah with all those old mental images, specifically of fundamentalist Islam and enemy of my people, or even more primally, detaching all those images from all the religious God images that personified God as male and separate and usually upset about something that I'm doing. And it took a while of being around people using this word in a very different way for me to catch on to the different feel of it. It was put into words very well by a student of mine from Bermuda, who was a Muslim from Bermuda, who said that when she came to the United States, she said, "I couldn't understand. All these people were talking about Allah as though he was a big father in the sky. I thought Allah was something that I was part of." Oh. And when I'm speaking the word Allah, I'm not speaking it as father in sky. I'm speaking it as the unity, the totality, that which there is when everything is all one. And so the phrase Allahu Akbar makes its sense when we understand it to mean something along the lines of the unity is greater than the whole, that's more than the sum of its parts, or the radically inclusive. That would be actually a very good phrase for describing what's meant by Allah. And this becomes real with the cry of Allahu Akbar as the opening to prayer, because it means whatever mood I'm in right now, Allahu Akbar, the unity is greater than. So I can be in whatever mood I'm in, and I'm part of the unity. Allah is greater than the things I need to get done by the end of the day. Allah is greater than the feeling in the pit of my stomach. Allah is greater than the nagging thoughts that distract me. Allah is greater than back pain. Allah is greater than nutritional issues. Allah is greater than my dress, my shoes, my joy, my sorrow, anything. Allahu Akbar, meaning all of it is so, and none of it disqualifies me from entry into sacred space. Allahu Akbar. I do not need to leave anything behind to come into prayer. Allahu Akbar. I don't have to chop off parts of my personality. Allahu Akbar. I don't have to pretend I'm in a different mood than I'm in. Allahu Akbar. I don't have to spend years repenting in the desert. Allahu Akbar. The cry of radical inclusiveness. The unity is greater than, subsumes everything. It is all part of. Therefore, I can enter as I am. The doorway to the sacred is honesty. And holiness is predicated on realness. Allahu Akbar. Leave nothing behind. So when I say Allah, and I've come to say it very gratefully, I'm speaking of something that welcomes me because I am already part of it. And once I know that, I have a place of belonging and a place of rest among. There are physical sensations that are part of the capacity to actually feel included. And they are centered around the center of the chest, the heart. Sometimes I spook myself out a little bit reading about neurocardiology and electromagnetism and how the electromagnetic field is centered around the heart, the center of the human electromagnetic field, and therefore is the central place from which we can entrain with other electromagnetic fields and feel ourselves become we, become part of, join fields, enter a field, and become part of it, like birds flocking up. And saying Allahu Akbar and entering a state of prayer is all about cultivating the capacity to entrain, to flock up, to feel, literally feel, not think my way into theoretically, oh yes, I'm part of the whole, but to feel part of. I advise taking your fingers and putting them on the center of your chest to help bring your consciousness there. If it feels tight, if it feels achy, if it feels nervous, or if you feel as though you are actually in your head looking down at your heart rather than actually letting yourself down into the jacuzzi itself, and actually sometimes it's easier to start not with fingertips but with a fist placed over the center of your chest. The heart is a muscle about the size of a fist. And slowly unclenching your fist. Allah. 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 Sometimes it aches as we unclench it. If it aches with the unclenching, promise yourself that it's okay for it to happen slowly. Promise yourself that there's no rush, because you can't force a flower to bloom. Ya Allah. All sounds that have the ah sound help to resonate with the heart and help the heart to open. And when I say open, I mean become more capable of becoming part of, more capable of sense of inclusion. In the Hindu tradition, the Ram chant, the sound Ram, and for connecting the heart to the third eye, Ram, Sita, Ram. But for a Sufi class, the word Allah comes in very handy. And then the ul sound, where we stick the tongue up, the tip of the tongue up to behind the teeth, which helps the CV and GV channels drain down, helps bring us out of our head and back into our torso. Allah. 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 now that we are agreed that saying the word Allah does not mean I would like to bomb buildings or other terrorist activity, that it's just a way of helping the heart to yield into the space in which it can know itself as part of a greater whole. Let's give a try to using this sound for its effect on the heart, on the body, on the spirit. Chant together a little bit. See how it feels. Allah. What I think I feel in the group heart is movement into the heart and then going back up to the head to check whether I'm feeling anything. And it's a funny thing, it's like a little parrot, like a little periscope or something. Okay, am I feeling something yet? But it's down in the jacuzzi place that we feel it. And there is a way in which, as we first start to pray meaning not talk to an old man in the sky, but pray meaning surrender into the jacuzzi that allows me to slip into the ocean. Often we feel kind of stupid at first. And in fact, there can be a kind of that requires letting go of intellectual acuity at first. I know when I first started doing this, I felt so peaceful and not in my head when I started to drift into my heart, that it actually really frightened me, and I thought, oh shit, this is when the brainwashing starts, you know? I got real nervous about it and kept popping up into my head and saying, okay, what are they telling me now? What am I supposed to believe? And then felt that feeling of, oh, here I am in my head, feeling separate again. Totally lost that ocean kind of feel. Yeah, Allah. I needed to spend a certain amount of time checking whether I could get in and out of the jacuzzi at will. I needed to keep checking. Can I go, Allah? Allah. 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 And begin to dare to trust that I could relax. Especially the back of my heart would stay very paranoid for a while. Like, okay, I'll let the front melt a little. But the back of my heart was saying, okay, is something happening yet? And it's absolutely fine to keep checking back and forth. Although eventually there comes a time when we let ourselves drift away, let the front and the back open, and say, all right, how many times do I need to get in and out of this pool before I know that I can get out when I want? Allah. And let myself drift. At first, for me, it was always easier to be with Allah, meaning to be with the sense of inclusion. increasingly vast sense of inclusion when my eyes were shut. Then it was like I was in a warm soup. But you know, you can't live that way. It's sort of a retreat. And the next step was, you can give this a try, letting my eyes be slightly open and noticing, okay, when my eyes slightly open, to what extent do I go back into watchful, paranoid, and separate? And to what extent am I able to drop into the unity and feel the soup of the room around me? When I'm in my heart, when we're in a state of Allahu Akbar, the unity is greater than, I'm part of the air. I'm part of the furniture. There's an ambient feeling of this whole room being one thing. One field. And again, there's a kind of, at first, feeling of stupidness in a way. It's not a sharp-edged, it's not an analytical state. But it is a state that gives us a sense of in-touchness, being in touch. When in a state of prayer, when in a state of Allahu Akbar, there's a relaxed, open field of attention that I am part of. And I notice it most keenly, for instance, with physical movement or working with inanimate objects. If I'm trying to do something artistic and I'm not in a state of prayer, then somehow the medium with which I'm working is dead and awkward. The paint is a thing. The brush is a thing. But when I'm in a state of Allahu Akbar, when the unity is greater than me or the paper or the colors or the brush, I'm not analytical, but I am in touch, and somehow my relationship with physical objects is very different. My relationship with people is different. It's a feeling of being in the same swim, as though we're fish, and if any fish moves, that's felt. Like we're all in one. So the beginning of prayer, the beginning of Sufi space, Allahu Akbar. Falling into the heart and resting and resting. Sometimes I think the primary purpose of prayer is just to get some real rest, some true rest. What is it, St. Augustine, not a Sufi necessarily, or maybe, said, "Our hearts were made for thee, O Lord, and are restless till they rest in thee." Yes, we are part of the unity. It's our place of resting. And I can let go into being part of a flow. I'm surrounded the way a fish is surrounded by direct in-touchness. There's a kind of quiet that happens. And a great deal of the later work of prayer, being able to hear things, being able to know things, comes from just practicing prayer as rest. Can I come into the true state of rest? A rest that's not a kind of closing the door on the outside world and going into isolation. I need some rest. But a kind of opening the door. Allahu Akbar. And saying, I'm gonna surrender into being part of, being included, floating like seaweed. Let's try chanting a little bit more. One of the names of Allah, As-Salam, the peace, is a really good one for entering the state of rest that prayer begins with, prayer as rest. And what we chant is, Ya Allah, Ya Salam. That's a lot of ah sounds. Ya Allah, Ya Salam. Ya Allah, Ya Salam. Ya Allah, Ya Salam. Ya Allah, Ya Salam.
Ya Allah,
Ya
Salam.
Beloved Allah, my beloved ocean, please help us to learn to rest. Please help us to learn to rest. Please help the backs of our heads to slide into our hearts and let go of their watchfulness and their tightness. Help us to be aware through you, through the heart, through connectedness. Oh, please. We are so weary. We are weary from separation. We are weary from solitude. We are weary from trying and working and doing and striving. Please, Allah, help us. Allah. Ya Allah. Ya Salam. To know the only peace. The only peace there is. The peace of resting. And being part of. And being part of. Ya Allah. Ya Salam. Ya Allah. When we say Allah, when we pray, it's meant in a Sufi way to be done in the state of the deepest possible resting, which means we still may be running from a saber-toothed tiger if that's what we need to be doing. You don't stop and lie down to pray. But some part of our heart is at rest in ocean and connectedness, so that I can call upon that connection and speak from already part of. Yeah. So on these calls, frequently you'll hear me begin with Allahu Akbar. And when I say Allahu Akbar, you can put hands to chest and feel how every part of your life is included and can come and rest. Ya Allah. Ya Allah. Ya Allah. Ya. I also often begin Sufi classes with Al-Fatiha, the prayer of opening, which begins with the phrase Bismillah, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. the name of the unity. This law. In the name of what I am part of, in the name of what I am, we are all part of, in the name of the radical inclusiveness, which is what I wish all of my words to be informed by. When I begin any activity with the word Bismillah, I am saying, I would like all of my words and actions and consciousness to be informed by the unity. You'll hear me saying it frequently. Sufis are constantly, before pouring a glass of water, Bismillah. I would like this pouring of the glass of water to be informed by the unity. Before beginning a class, Bismillah. Before beginning anything, Bismillah. I would like for this to be informed by the unity, by the awareness of myself and all of us, part of the unity. That it be a felt and not a theoretical reality, which means I must rest. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of the unity, the merciful, the compassionate. Ar-Rahman, Ya Allah, Ya Rahman. The Rahman is the mercy for everyone. The Rahman is an enveloping mercy in which everyone is included, all beings, all beings. The Rahman, the word root, is related to the word for uterus, and it's that sense of mother-like, womb-like, all-inclusive mercy. Bismillah ar-Rahman. When I say Bismillah ar-Rahman, it's the opportunity for us to remember, oh, am I resting in the unity right now? Am I resting enough to be capable of feeling that inclusiveness? And ar-Rahman, am I allowing myself to be included in the mercy? Or am I saying, oh yeah, everybody in creation except me? And what changes in my body, what changes in me when I say Bismillah ar-Rahman and really hear myself say it and include myself in on the mercy? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The Rahim also means the mercy, the compassion. But it's a different kind of mercy. The Rahman was the mercy for everyone, with no exceptions and no matter what. And the Rahim is the light of mercy that shines down on those who are worthy of it. So not all receive it. And we become worthy of the Rahim. We become worthy to receive the light of the Rahim by asking for it. That is the one requirement. And it makes a huge change in our being, because the moment we ask for mercy, the moment we say, I want the mercy, I want to receive the mercy, we fundamentally change the orientation of our soul with that asking. We are turning towards the merciful. And by that change of orientation in our soul, become worthy to receive the Rahim. So, we begin with Allahu Akbar, the radical inclusiveness that lets us know that the real is the doorway to the sacred. We leave nothing behind. And Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, declaring the way to be informed by the unity. Ar-Rahman. Rahman or Rahim. I will speak about surrender, which is kind of a loaded term, just like Allah, just like God, just like prayer. I've used the word surrender already a couple of times. It's how we manage to pray, not by intention, but by a kind of falling backwards. Again, it's so much like rest. Can I allow? Can I allow? Can I allow my individuality, my separateness, to soften around the edges? Which means that I will be seeing the situation I'm in and feeling the situation I'm in not only from my limited perspective, but from the sense of the field, from the sense of how the tide is moving here. Just as inside of ourselves, coming into unity makes us much more effective and is much more restful when we're inside of ourselves, all the different voices. There's the individual voices within us. The I'm tired voice and the this is bullshit voice and the I want to talk to God now voice and the couldn't we get something better to eat voice and, you know, all the different inner voices. Just as the heart is the ocean to which all the veins return, bearing messages from every part of the body, the heart is the place that hears all the voices and can include them all. When we are inside of ourselves following the sway of a particularly strong voice, well, that's got momentum to it. But it isn't wholehearted. And the sensation of wholeheartedness, the feeling of being able to say yes to something wholeheartedly. All voices brought into unity. Or being able to say no to something wholeheartedly, completely unified, a unanimous no, a choice for one direction or another, a smile. Whenever we have that feeling of wholeheartedness, of unity, it's like an internal Allahu Akbar. And the relief and the rest and the efficiency. Because when we do something wholeheartedly, there's an elegance to it. We're not fighting ourselves. We're not at odds. So cultivating the heart brings us into unity internally, and it's through that practice that we then, still somewhat motley, can't wait till you're perfect, turn and say, okay, I want to be one of the veins included in the heart. I want to be one of the streams as part of this coming into ocean. How do I come into a wholeheartedness that's even greater than myself but includes me? That's surrender. Just as inside of me, when I am wholehearted, sure, there are parts of me that might rather be skipping stones under the bridge into the river, but they've come into surrender to a whole that's greater than the sum of its parts, the feeling that, you know, even though all these different possibilities might be nice, I can still wholeheartedly say, I'm here on the phone right now and this is where I need to be. This is it. just so. Heart, prayer, surrender is a state of saying, okay. In order to feel this situation from Allahu Akbar, from unity, I may need to let go of the single-minded pursuit of my agenda for how this call, for how this dinner is going to go, and let my voice be one of many voices seeking a sense of the whole field. Let's see if I can send it more. Oh, law. It's so physiological. Whenever I want to be more wholehearted, my hand goes to my chest and I'm saying, oh, law. I'm coming into rest. And whenever I want to feel the whole field and feel myself part of it so that I can make my decisions about what to say and what to do next, allowing myself to be part of this tide. Ya Allah, Ya Allah. And I speak somewhat old-fashionedly. I may pray saying, Allah, what do you want me to do here? But what I'm actually doing is coming into wholeheartedness with as much of the unity as I am capable of at that time. Understanding that what I call Allah is as much as I can know of a field that infinitely expands. If you wanted to practice something, you can practice putting your hand on your heart and actually resting, feeling what it feels like to actually, truly surrender into rest, being floated like in an ocean, all the way through the back of the heart, opening and resting as a form of entry into prayer. Allahu Akbar. Salaam alaikum, dear ones. May you have a good afternoon.